the movement of the clock that produces the newness of life. It is the movement in your mind. You're going to hear all kinds of things said about you. Throw it behind you. The enemies that you see today, you will see them no more. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Every tongue that riseth against you, God will condemn. This is my time. Truth of the matter is, everybody in here is going through a change. You don't have to be ashamed of yours. We are all in the process of transforming to a higher, better expression of myself. Let this be the year that I birth a higher, better expression of myself. Don't let the habits of my past stop me from this metamorphosis. New year, new me. New year, new me. What separates us is transformation. Possibility of change, the desire to evolve, the passion to get up off the ground and stop eating dirt. I'm tired of doing what I used to do. If I always do what I've always done, I'll always be where I've always been. I'm gonna throw it behind me. Somebody in this room that nobody would think would be in a church tonight, but you drew them to this place tonight because you want them to be a new me in a new year and have a new attitude and a new mind, because the real battleground is in your mind. That's where the fight is. You lay down with it. You get up with it. You go to work with it. You can't digest your food because of it. Smiling in front of people and nobody knows that there's gunfire going off in your head. It's not a geographical location. It's not debt. It's not money. It's not haters. It's not enemies. It's not liars. It's not backbiters. That's not the battleground. Stop wasting your weapons on what people say, because it is not what they say about you that matters. It is what you say about you that threatens your destiny. You will never be defeated by what they say about you. You will be defeated by what you say about you. What I'm trying to tell you, beloved, is that you can have a new year, but it don't mean jack diddly if you don't have a new mind. I'm telling you that you can buy a new car, but if you put the old man in a new car, you're still going to have the old experience. I'm telling you that a new house doesn't make a new marriage. I'm talking about a new outfit doesn't make you a new person. And if you think you are magically going to be a new person, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, because new life comes from a new mind and a new way of looking at your life. I cannot step into the future and still think in my past. I cannot let the rumors and the stain of what they said about me destroy my opportunity. Slap somebody and tell them, I gotta kill it tonight. I gotta destroy it tonight. I gotta get rid of it tonight. I gotta throw it behind me tonight. I can't drag that same old mess into another year. What are you going through right now that's getting in you? If you want to know what's getting in you, listen to what you talk about. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you want to know what your heart is filled with, listen to what your mouth is talking about. Because whatever your mouth is talking about, that's what your heart is filled with. Have you ever been around those people that keep talking about the past all the time? And they talk about it like it was yesterday. It was 20 years ago. your mouth will tell you what is getting to you, because it speaks out what the heart is full of. That's why when the heart is full of the Holy Ghost, the mouth speaks out in the language of the Spirit, because whatever the heart is full of, that's what the mouth will speak out.
Set a guard on your heart. I can stay on this all night. I set a guard on your heart. Set a guard on your heart. The Bible said the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. The peace of God will keep. The word keep in Greek means to guard. It will guard your heart and mind. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Set a guard on your heart. Stop allowing your heart to be carried away with every compliment. Every nice person, anybody who smiles, all of a sudden your heart starts entering into all of these ideas and fantasy. Then you just start going and you don't protect your heart. You see, the church always teaches people to protect your body, but we don't teach people to protect their heart. We teach them not to fall into fornication, but we don't talk about soul ties and people who get connected emotionally and people who cry themselves to sleep and people who are in these one-sided love affairs and they're carried away with these secret attractions and they're all upset and they're in turmoil and they pick at themselves and they frustrate themselves, always wanting something that's not there or seeing something in somebody that they don't see in themselves. And you have to guard your heart. You know when your heart is getting carried away. You have to talk to yourself. When the Bible says be sober, it's not talking about it's talking about not allowing yourself to become intoxicated with anything. Be sober. It says be vigilant, for your adversary goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Guarding your heart. You'd be surprised at the people in this room right now whose heart is broken. Whose heart is broken because you didn't guard your heart. You know what will help you to guard your heart? When you start valuing yourself. You start valuing yourself. You start saying, wait a minute, I'm important too. Hold up here. I can't quote it exactly the way King James Version said it, but David said, I don't fool with things that are too high for me. There's certain things. That's going too far. That's I can't do that. That's like kryptonite to Superman. You kryptonite, I'm Superman. Bye. Guarding your heart. Guarding your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. Your heart must be protected. Stop allowing your heart to be carried away by every little person who comes along, any little stranger. Keep your heart from ghosts. Keep your heart from ghosts. Things that used to be alive, but they're dead. Stop falling in love with ghosts. If it's over, it's over. Guard your heart. Get your heart back. Start talking to God. God, help me with my heart. Help me with my emotions. Help me with my memories. My memories are tormenting me. Bring my memories up under subjection so that I can sleep tonight. You have to be able to talk to God. You have to be able to talk to God. You have to be able to talk to God. God, help me. God, help me with myself. Lift my mind up. Set my affections on things that are above. Move my heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. When you see your heart being carried away, you have to snatch it and bring it in. You can't go up to somebody and talk about, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you. I'm telling you right now, I'm your pastor. And I'm telling you, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you. If you dive out of a 20-story building, you are going to get hurt. Don't jump. Don't jump. Don't get close to the edge. You can't fly. You can't fly. Don't try. I just believe you're going to catch me. No, there ain't. Guard your heart.
Wasn't that a good word? Everybody can find something in that word. I want to speak just for a few minutes this morning because I gave TD a few of my minutes, but it was worth it. I want to talk about being on track and moving forward. It's always an opportunity at the end of a year to reflect briefly. Don't dwell there, but at least look back on the past year long enough to learn what you might need to learn from the experience, and then to take an audit and see what about this past year you don't want to drag in to the new year. So it's an opportunity to bring closure on some things and then look forward to the blessing of God in the new year. And always a good scripture at the end of the year is the Apostle Paul's writing in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. He said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Everybody say, "Press on." "That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." Say one thing. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." And then Paul said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Twice in these three verses, he uses the word press. And it's a wonderful commitment to make going into a new year, believing God for newness, believing God for better in the coming year than you've had in the past year in any area of your life. We have to know the importance of pressing. I remember several years ago teaching on this verse of scripture, and I said then, and I'll repeat it now, there are two kinds of people in the world: those who press and those who settle. Those who press and those who settle for the way things are and are not motivated to do anything to make it different. Pressers and settlers. In the Greek, the word press means to reach forth, to pursue, and to stretch forward. And so we have a fresh opportunity at the end of this year to decide whether we're going to press into the better things God has in his hand for us and he desires to give us, or if we're going to have yet another year like the last one because we're willing to settle for the way things are, not willing to reach forth, to pursue, or to stretch forward, not willing to press. Two kinds of people: those who press and those who settle. And if you settle for what you have, you deserve what you get. Good word for the end of the year. Now, we're not at our final destination, but we're headed in the right direction, on track and moving forward. Some of us may not even be on track. We may be on the wrong track. If so, look back just long enough to determine where it was that you got off track, and then make that right and immediately begin to look forward and press in that direction. Now, Paul said, "I have forgotten those things which are behind." We have to forget some things going into the new year. Forget about the past. Forget about some things. Now, there are good parts of my past and yours, and there are bad parts of my past and yours. And we have to learn from it and then focus on the future and move forward. Because the good things from my past and your past, will tempt us to just rest on our laurels. Oh, I've done enough, and I'm okay with next year being just like this one, not that bad. And then the bad things from our past, we need to forget about that, about those too, because they will paralyze you and cause you to stall and not make any progress. It will zap you. The bad things haunting you from your past will stop you from having enough energy to press. And it does take energy to press. The word press itself implies there is pressure and resistance against you. You can't just fall into it. You have to press into it. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. I'm reaching forward. Quit looking in the rearview mirror and start looking through the windshield. Now, what would happen in a race if all the runners running the race, we got any marathoners in here? Anybody ever run a 26.2 mile marathon? Chris Potter, did you raise your hand? I didn't. Oh, you were just scratching your head. Is that it? 26 miles. Nobody in here? What about a half of a marathon? Really? We do have some runners. Imagine a race filled with runners, and all of the runners are looking behind them while they run. Well, they would trip all over somebody. So we've got to focus on the forward. We forget. We break the power of the past and realize that the past cannot be changed. You can't change your past. I can't change my past. But we can change the future. But we first have to look that way. Now, looking at the past long enough to say I'm not going to be bogged down by regrets. It is what it is. I can't change a thing about the past right on up to this present moment. No need to spend a lot of time at the end of the year regretting the past. Can't do anything about it. Don't press regret at the end of the year. It's time to press reset. Not regret, but reset and move forward. Now, Paul used an accounting metaphor just in a few verses prior to the verses we read. He said, all of the things that I could count as gain, I have written it off as a loss. Profit and loss. Paul must have known something about a P&L sheet. He said, oh, I've got things to my credit. I'm pedigreed. I was raised prim and proper in the Jewish faith. I did everything right according to customs and culture and tradition. He was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He was at the top of religion. But he said, when I met Christ and allowed him to start transforming me from the inside out, every good thing to my credit that I had earned, I wrote it off and threw it away and counted it as loss so that I can gain more of Christ. I count all things as loss that I might gain. Doesn't sound like he regretted anything, but he reset moving forward. And Paul said, I've lost so much because of my pursuit of Christ, but I've gained a lot more than I've lost. And anytime our pursuit is for more of God in our lives, we can say that no matter what it cost us, we've gained more. We've gained Christ. And becoming a person of destiny requires more than sitting around hoping it will automatically happen with time. The only thing that automatically happens with time is age. Destiny does not come that way. It requires focus and effort, and it requires pressing against the resistance. Have you had any resistance in your life this past year in any area? Well, all of us have. But we're well able to press against it. not settle for it, but press against the resistance and power through it. And Hollister, Gideon, and Eden's other grandfather says change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Now I'm telling you, you will change this year. You will age. If you put forth no effort whatsoever, if you don't engage in life for another year and just sit on the sidelines and let time pass you by for another year, you will change. You'll get another wrinkle. Some of you may get your first wrinkle this coming year. I see several that if you get one, it'll be your first. Some of you may erase some wrinkles. That takes effort. You will change whether you plan to or not. Change happens. It's inevitable. But growth is optional and it's reserved for only those who are willing to press and refuse to settle. And this is the time to make a commitment for that. Now, there are several things quickly and we'll be done in 5 minutes. Nobody believes that. First of all, divine dissatisfaction. One reason we are in the condition we're in is we're more satisfied with the way we are than we are committed to an effort to change. Paul said that he was dissatisfied divinely. It was a sanctified dissatisfaction. He said, I've not arrived yet. I don't think I've attained all there is. Now, he was divinely dissatisfied. Even though God had been good, God had used him, God had blessed him, and he still realized, I'm in no place to start settling now. There's a divine dissatisfaction stirring in the people of God when he has a new level, a higher level of life ready for them to step into. Paul said, I've not arrived yet. And this kind of holy dissatisfaction is essential to moving forward. If you didn't have it, you would have no drive to grow. Oh, you would change, but not grow. Are you tired of living at the level where you've stalled? And the longer you stay in that stalled place, the more paralyzed you seem to be. The more difficult it is to actually get up and start pressing after you've been a settler for so long. Many of us need to become fed up, or else there will be no growth in the new year. So divine dissatisfaction, recognize it if you got it going on. That's something in your gut that says, I'm just not going to take another year like this. I don't believe God wants me to live through another year of this. And so I'm dissatisfied staying here at this level. The will of God is that we pass the test at this level, and then he promotes us from one level of glory to a higher level of glory. And then secondly, after divine dissatisfaction, there is the need to make a decision. Do you realize how hard it is for some people to make a decision? You have to be a decision maker, or else you're a victim of everybody else's decisions. And if you put off making some decisions long enough, you won't have to make it. It'll be made for you, whether it's the right one or the wrong one. The Bible says in the Old Testament that there are multitudes dying in the valley of decision. They just can't get out of the valley, cannot make a decision. So this year, don't die in the valley. Make a decision that you're going to climb to the top of the mountain in front of you. Indecision is like trying to drive your car in neutral. You're a victim to whatever. The prodigal son was in such a mess. He had thrown away every good thing the father had given him. He had gone through it all. He had abused the people who loved him the most. And he found himself in a faraway country partying with a lot of friends until his money ran out. And when his money ran out, he had no choice but to get the best job he could, and that was feeding pigs in a pig pen. And he lived in the pig pen with the pigs, and he ate the same food he was feeding the pigs. He had hit rock bottom, but he made a decision. And when he made a decision, the Bible says it this way. The Bible didn't say he made a decision. The Bible said he came to himself. Some people need to come to themselves like he did. And once he came to himself, he made a decision and said, I'm going to get up from here and I'm going back to my father's house, where there's more than enough, not only for me as a son, but for all of his servants. He came to himself. He made a decision. And then I have one more D word. Divine dissatisfaction, decision, and this one's a bad D word. I don't like this word. Discipline. Hate that one. Discipline. It's going to require discipline in order to press through the resistance and become a different person in the new year. Paul, when he wrote this passage, must have been a sports fan, because in his writings throughout the New Testament, he uses a lot of sporting illustrations to make his point. Wrestling, boxing, running, winning the race, he referred to that. Receiving a victor's crown, he talked about that. So he talked terms of sports in order to get his spiritual point across. And he talked about the discipline necessary to win and the danger of being disqualified from the race altogether without discipline. It takes discipline to maintain a consistent effort on any important goal. Discipline. And I need to grow in that. I need a little more of that. I need a priest right up in here so I can confess. Give me the discipline line. I'm first in it. I need some more of that. Don't we all? Discipline. It requires divine dissatisfaction at the end of the year, saying, I don't want to live another year like this one in this area. And then it requires making a decision. Darn it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not living that way anymore. I'm not settling anymore. I make a decision, a quality decision that will affect the next year and the rest of my life. And then discipline. The commitment to honor the boundaries you've set and the decision you've made. And stay focused. Discipline yourself. Well, that's the part I don't like. Maybe it's just my flesh, and maybe I'm different than anybody. Obviously, I'm the only one in here got any discipline problems, or y'all would be shouting or something. Discipline. Paul said, this one thing I do. This one thing. He did not say, the 50 things I dabble in. He said, this one thing I do. Forget the past and press stretch, reach forward. That's the one thing he said he would do, and it required discipline. He had a magnificent obsession to his top priority, and everything was about more of Christ in his life. He was devoted to a singular goal, this one thing I do. And one translation says he was straining toward, pressing, reaching forth, straining toward. It takes discipline to strain on a focused direction all year long. But our lives will be better for it 1 year from now if we will hear this word and make any adjustments in our lives at the end of this year and not drag everything, all the baggage we've had going on in our lives this past year. And you can't win the race laid back all the time. If you'll notice pictures of the runners, videos of those of you who've run the half of a marathon, go back and check the photos, the still shots, and the videos. You'll never see a runner running in a marathon laying back like that. You see the runners leaning forward. They're straining forward. They're leaning into the direction they want to go. You got to run the race leaning forward. And that's where God will pull us forward into his blessings for the new year. Don't press regret at the end of the year. No need to do that. Press reset. Get some things straightened out that have been crooked. And it's within your power to make some adjustments, to make a decision, to be divinely dissatisfied enough to say, I'm sick and fed up with some things that the enemy has been doing to me or that my own flesh has been doing to me. I'm not going to start that over in the new year. God has a better year, and I love it the way T.D. Jakes says it. There can be a new you in the new year. That's what God has for all of us. Would you stand with me?